Holy Spirit, we just acknowledge your presence here and the angels watching. And I know they're excited about what you're doing in the hearts of believers everywhere, including here. Praise God. Dreams and visions. You know, I've been thinking about this. I've been praying a lot more for my grandchildren and for all of you. Jill says, in the last day, I will pour out my spirit, and the old men shall have dreams, and the young men shall have visions. I think it's that way. Could be the other way around. And it's not that we have to have the supernatural things to believe. Actually, you're stronger and you're more blessed if you just believe the word of God just for itself, and you don't have to have some miracle to get you into faith. And a lot of times when you have a miracle and you actually see it, actually, it's funny, but sometimes it really brings more doubt to your mind, because then your mind starts contradicting what you just saw. And I won't go into that right now, but faith really comes by just being in the Word and meditating, spending time with that, thinking about that. And all of us have way more time to do that than we think. We think we're so busy, but a lot of times we're just driving, you know. And all of you have driven someplace and got there and wondered how you got there, because you don't remember the road or nothing. So in that space right there, you can be thinking about, you know, and talking and fellowshipping with the Lord. So I want to talk a little bit about just the dreams right now. In Genesis 37:8, it says this, and this, I'm just pulling this out of context a little bit, or pulling it out of the chapters here. And it's about Joseph, and it says, and then his brothers said to him, now Joseph shares his dream, you know, of having the family bow down to him and being a leader. And it says, and his brothers said to him, are you actually going to reign over us? Sibling squabbles have been around from the beginning, haven't they? Very, very beginning. Are you actually going to reign over us, or are you really going to rule over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and his words. You know, there's a lot of things that want to keep us from walking the path that God has laid out for us. God has laid out a beautiful path. He's given us a future and a hope for every person. Anybody you meet, God's got a plan for that life. If you think about that, you'll start really valuing people, because when you see them in the natural, a lot of times you'll just say, I don't know if there's much happening in that person's life. You know, people just call them losers and everything else. And according to all the evidence, you can honestly say that, but according to the Word of God, I believe the Father has a plan for every person. He's not a respecter of persons, and it's designed just for them. And aren't you glad that we don't all like the same thing and all play the same games and do all that? There's a lot of variety, but there's so many things that want to knock us out of that. You know, the peer pressure, the fear, the comparisons, the grumblings, all that knocks us out. Of going forward and finding that light on the path that God has laid out for us with hope and anticipation. Especially the hope that the trouble with comparison is you want to start picking up somebody else's dream or vision for their life and take it as your own, and it's not yours, and it's just never going to work. And part of that is because we don't believe that. We don't even know what's inside of us. We don't even know what we like. We don't even know what God has placed inside there. So we just start pulling up somebody else's dream. Or we just don't have a dream at all. But here, Joseph has a dream, and he begins to declare it. And this story sometimes affects us in a negative way. We don't want to share our dream or our vision because we don't want to be hated by the people around us. I will say this, though. Isn't it kind of neat that Joseph, number one, you could criticize him and just say, you should have kept your mouth shut, kept your dream to yourself. Maybe it would have been better. I don't know. I don't have an opinion about that. I just think God knows us, our makeup. So often what we need to press into what God's called us to do is going to be offensive to other people. If you don't think about, if you don't really come close to God, let me say this. What if Joseph would have just said, well, I am not going to be that arrogant brother, and I'm not going to go for that. You find somebody else, God. Just think about that. When Joseph submitted to that dream and submitted to God, and all that, you know the story of what all he went through. But at the end, isn't it amazing? The outcome of all that was deliverance for the whole family. The outcome of all that was a deep, sincere love. When Joseph finally got with his brothers, he went and wept. And when the brothers found out Joseph was alive and the father was, there was a flow of love and respect. I mean, it turned out really cool. And so think about this, the things that God has placed in your heart, there's going to be opposition. There is always going to be opposition. And for one thing, Satan always comes to take the word that God has placed in your heart. You can count on it. But here Joseph fought the battle, stayed faithful to God, and it brought out an incredible, incredible thing for all mankind. Last week, we're sharing about how when we stand on the promises, I'm going to go through that scripture again, but we partake of the nature of God. And this is something that I believe really gives us understanding and keeps us from being deceived, that every good thing that there is in God and came from God. And nothing comes into existence without him. And so every good attribute that you and I admire in other people, think about this, Jesus is the king of that attribute. He's really good at it. I don't know if you can envision Jesus snowboarding, but I guarantee you he'd win the Olympics. It's kind of fun to think about, isn't it? All the crazy stuff we do, Jesus would be right in there. I just think this is one of the hardest things. Religion just wants to knock this out and say Jesus is just walking around in a robe, you know, being sober and da-da-da. And yet the Bible says that he was more joyful than anybody else when he's here on earth. The Roman soldiers used to write and just say, this man Jesus of Nazareth, you always know where he's at because he said you can hear his laughter all over the community. That's what Roman soldiers wrote. That we still have those letters. They said the kids are just always drawn to him and you can hear him laugh. That's kind of cool too, isn't it? And just to think that Jesus, you know, well, for one thing, you think about that, he could skydive and he wouldn't be worried about dying, right? Think what you could do if you weren't afraid of death. Bible says that we're held in bondage because of fear of death all of our life if we don't bust it. So, in thinking about that, I was just thinking about, you know, I think I alluded to it, or maybe I can't always remember, but I know generosity comes out of us not because we go, oh, man, I should be generous. Generosity comes out of us as when we see Jesus who he really is. And when we see God who he is, you just realize he's extremely generous, and all of a sudden you go, oh, I'm like my father. I'm generous. Why? Because it's just one of the things he is. And part of it is because he's got everything. And why are you and I generous? Because it doesn't really matter what our bank account says, what's in our billfold or in our purse. What matters is in our heart. That's where everything's generated. We always have the opportunity to be generous because we own everything with Jesus. We're the joint heirs with him now. So, you know, your temporary situation doesn't control your giving. What controls your giving is this intimacy of partaking of the nature of God. And it's so true of every other virtue of our life that is good. When we realize that what generates that is Christ in us, not just our genetics and not just our drive and our willpower. What brings forth life out of us in every area is the life of God that's inside of us. And when you focus on that, the flow increases. So I want to say this. One of the fun things in life is to help somebody else reach their dream. It really is. All of you do it. All of you see opportunities, and all of you take them sometimes just to help somebody else with their dream. It's really a blast. I remember talking to Ed Capsa. We were talking about our earlier days, and we talked about how businessmen that were quite wealthy or somewhat successful in life would take us underneath their wing and help us. So Ray Dutton owned the lumberyard in Vail, and he wanted me so bad to buy the lumberyard from him for years. He said, come on in and buy this lumberyard. I had no experience. I had no money. I thought, I ain't going to talk to him. That'd be wrong. You know, it's like pulling up to going to look at automobiles, and I'd always just look for the old ones and a lot of miles and all that. And the guy says, you want to drive this brand new BMW? And I go, no, why would I do that? You know, I had this attitude that you got to deserve it, you got to have it or whatever else, or don't even open your mouth. And so all these years that Ray Dunn was trying to help me buy the lumberyard from him, I just blew it off. Until he finally had an auction, all that, and then I did buy it. And then I found out I would have got such a heck of a deal if I would have went and talked to him. He was going to set me up. I could have had a full-blown lumberyard with $250,000 in resources and trucks and forklifts all paid for within probably a year or two if I would have went and talked to him. He wanted to bless me that way. And Ed was talking about the same thing. Somebody took him under his wing, you know. I remember Ed just going, I wonder why they do that. I don't know why. Why would a guy do that? And I thought, I think I know. I think I got a glimpse of when you get older and you've fulfilled your dreams, you want to help somebody else. It's a joy to watch somebody reach their dreams. Now think about this. What can you do to help God reach his dreams? If you have dreams and visions and ambitions, how about the, you know, you got it from God. That's one of his attributes. What could you and I do to bless God and help him reach his dream or dreams? And I'm just going to throw it out there. You can do what you want with. I said the greatest gift that you can give God is helping him fulfill his dream. And what is his dream? It's to have you believe in him and trust him. That's his hope. That's his dream. That's what he sacrificed everything for. That's why he gave up his own son. That's why he's pulled off everything he could to do what he can, because his dream is to have you, his child, and to have you trust him and believe in him. And when that happens, his dream is fulfilled. And you can help him. And I can help him. And that kind of puts a whole different light on everything that we're doing in life. When we believe that we are a blessing to Jesus, it's the greatest measure possible for mankind to give back to the Lord. I guess you could maybe say that. Hallelujah. Nobody has anything that they didn't receive from the Lord. And even our faith is a gift from the Lord Jesus Christ. In Galatians 2, it says this, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. And every time you try to get right and be the good Christian, what a horrible term. Be a good Christian. Every time you're trying to do that, you're just nullifying the grace of God. You think you can get there by white-knuckling and doing the right thing. And then you feel bad if you don't do the right thing. And it's just like, man, just give it up. Just give it up. It's going to be contrary to everything. You're going to be, you know, and if you give that up and you start declaring who you are in Christ and all that, people are going to hate you. They're going to criticize you. But the outcome will be great when you just say, no, my Father just absolutely adores me, already forgiven me, already redeemed me, and already made me perfect. And all this other stuff that's going on is nothing in his sight, so it's nothing in my sight. I'm just going to draw close to him. And it says, the life we now live in this flesh, not talking about later on, in this flesh, you live by faith. And here's where very seldom do, I won't say that. In the King James Version, it says this, live by the faith of Jesus Christ. In the Greek, there's no articles like that, so it's up to interpretation. It doesn't really matter, but in one, you know, but here's the thought. Think about the faith that Jesus has, the trust that Jesus had in the Heavenly Father. He lived by faith. He lived by the Word. He lived by believing it. He lived by believing in His Father. He lived by trusting His Father. I only do what my Father tells me to do. I only do what I see Him doing and all that. That's Jesus' faith. And it says, man, have that same kind of faith in Mark 11, 20. Have that same kind of faith. And actually, it is have the same faith. We've got like-minded faith. We actually have the faith that you have is actually the faith that Jesus has. He's given it to you as a gift. Isn't that incredible? He actually just says, here, if you accept this gift, I'm going to put in you my faith, my relationship with the Heavenly Father. You're going to have the same relationship as I got with the Father. If you accept it, I'll just give it to you. Man, I don't know, but that's like, whoa, take some pressure off if you can believe that. And you can believe that. Glory to God. So back at the 2 Peter says this, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, seeing that the divine power, his divine power is granted to us everything. Say everything. Everything. You can't dream or visualize something that isn't included in this everything pertaining to life and godliness through what? Through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. Through the true knowledge. Now, Michael Fusen is a friend of our church. He's part of us. You know, he has the essence of coffee down rapid. He gave me two espresso machines that are nice machines, but they're old. But you can get parts for them. So he says, hey, you can take these two machines, make one out of it. And so I said, oh, cool. It's a cool machine. So I've been playing with that. I had to tear it apart, tear the other one apart, put it together, and I've been working on it. Sometimes it works, then it doesn't work. And then he says, here's two new baskets, and, you know, they're little filter baskets that you put the coffee in, and you put it up there, and it pushes it through, you know. And anyway, I got on ChatGPT, and I'm just going into the detail. Sometimes it's just fun to go to excellence in something and figure it out how it works. And, you know, maybe you can't really tell the difference between Folgers and a good espresso, but to me, it's kind of fun just to play the game and do something in natural life that is fun to perfect. And coffee is one of the biggest things that's in the whole world, so it works everywhere. So anyway, I thought I'm figuring this thing out. I'm feeling pretty good, you know. I'm getting it to work and all that, and you know. And then I'm checking with ChatGPT, and it's laying it out for me just how many grams and how many, you know, how much water pressure and all that. And then Michael shows up the other day, and we're looking at it, and he goes, I'm asking him to get a little bit better flavor, and he goes, I said, these are 21 grams, and then I pull out he'd ordered them. I pull out the order sheet, and he goes, you know, there's some for one shot, and then there's some for two shots, a double, and then there's some for three. We had the three, thinking it was a double. So, no wonder we're wired. And he goes, man, what was I thinking on that day? And I've been trying to make all this other stuff work, not understanding what I had. So then he says, I'll get it figured out for you. I'll get you the right ones, you know, whatever else. And then he sends me a whole cheat on how to do everything. And I'd had one owner's manual that was really like 500 pages. You ever try to read one of those? God bless you. I don't try. But then he sent me a small one. So I printed it out. It's not that big. It's an owner's manual for it. And I thought, well, I think I figured out what I need. And I looked up a couple of things. Then I just start reading it. It's amazing what I figured out. My God. I thought I tore that machine apart. And I'm reading the manual, and it has a little paragraph and said, this is automatically to backwash it. What? It automatically fixes itself? And I had one old head that wasn't working, you know, and I finally, well, let's try it out. Hit the buttons, and all of a sudden, it works. I go, dang. Dang. And I thought, isn't it amazing? Hey, you can go, I don't have my Bible with me, you can go to the scriptures to find an answer to a problem, maybe fix it, but sometimes you just need to read the manual. And a lot of you are reading through the whole Bible right now, and that's pretty awesome, because in that reading of just reading the scriptures, you'll find things that you didn't know you needed. You'll find answers that you didn't have questions for. You'll have wisdom that you never even crossed your mind that can make life better and simpler by just reading the owner's manual. Of all the things that we could perfect in life, and it is fun to go for things, what if we perfect, or what if we just had that heartbeat to say, I want to know how life works from the guy that created it. And I want to work it. I want to work it. Psalms 119:89 says this, for the Lord, forever, O Lord, is your word settled in heaven. This is a great scripture. When God says something, it's finalized. It's locked in. The word settled here actually means to stand. Boom. Stand. In other words, immovable. His word is settled forever. So when you look at life and you're believing for healing, you're believing for finance, whatever you're believing for, when you find the word on that issue, you know that it's settled in heaven, and now it's just bring it to earth. Bring what is already established in heaven as firm, solid standing. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And you and I get to execute this, all right, by our faith in his and trust in him. We take what he's already settled in heaven and we bring it to earth. And it overrules everything. In him was life, and the life was the light of all men. The entrance of his word, I think, Chase, do I have that scripture? Psalms 119:90 says, your faithfulness continues throughout all generations. So what we're reading here is not just for David's time, it's for all generations. You establish the earth and it stands. And then Psalms 130 says this, the unfolding or the entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. It gives understanding to the simple. For I long for your commandments or your instructions. Turn to me and be gracious to me after your manner with those who love your name. Establish my footsteps in the word, and do not let any iniquity have dominion over me. The unfolding or the entrance of his words gives light. Hello? I knew she would call. Right when I'm busy. Now, when the word comes in, it brings forth light. Think about this. I don't know. Light's an amazing thing because God is light. Light is it the opposite of darkness? Huh. Is there a battle between light and dark? Don't think so. Darkness, maybe, I don't know, there's a lot of ways to say it. Probably way more detail than I can come up with now, but we'll learn more as we go. But darkness is really the absence of light. But when light comes, it can't stop it. I've shared this before, but it's pretty profound if you ask me. I'm up in a cave, and when I was in high school, I don't know which cave we were at. I think it's Bethlehem Cave. I think they shut it down, didn't they? Or I don't know if it's open. Anyway, we're down deep in this cave with a group of people. I think it was the same time we had Barry McGuire with us, rock and roll star. And we went to this cave. Anyway, we get to the down in deep, and the guide says, we're going to shut off all the lights now, and so you can experience, you know, some real darkness. You know, everybody's cool about it. And I've done a little research after that. You will mentally go insane within a short time in solid darkness. I mean, you'll start hallucinating. Let's put it that way. You won't go crazy, but you'll start seeing things. So we're down there, and all the lights go out, and it's just pitch black. It's just like, wow, man, it is. Man, when it's dark. You know, when there's no light, there's no light. And then all of a sudden, I'm looking, and I'm going, whoo, I'm already hallucinating. I see this green glow coming off the rocks around me. The room wasn't this big, but it's pretty good size. And I'm starting to see, whoa, that's weird. And then I'm thinking, am I the only one seeing this? And I said, you see anything green? He says, yeah, I'm starting to see it. I go, what the heck is that? We got a goblin down here or what? And bless God, I figured out what it was. It was my watch. Now, listen, this is way back in 50 years ago. I had a digital watch. I mean, it had numbers on it. And it had a backlight on it. I never knew it. Never seen it before. Never was dark enough. That thing was cheap, man. You talk about the minimum light you could have. But in pitch blackness, that thing put a green glow through that whole cave. And I put my hand over it, and the goblin was gone. But I pulled it off, and to this day I go, man, that doesn't take a whole lot of light to defeat the darkness. And the entrance of his word brings light. What is light? It's energy. It's energy. Light. They use lights to heal. They use lights to bring life. Without the sun, we don't have the green plants. Everything comes from light. And God is light, and Jesus is the light. He's the life and the light to all men. And when the entrance of this word comes, you got light. And when light comes, the darkness has to leave. It's not a battle. It's gone. If you can think about every situation in your life, what you want is the word to bring forth light in your situation, and the darkness flees, and the victory is won. You know what the world says? Incurable, impossible, never going to happen. And unfortunately, way too many of us believe them. I'm going to get that coffee machine humming like you can't believe, man. I'm going to have some of the best espressos to mankind just because it's just fun. And some of you don't even like it. I don't care. I'm going to do it for me. But more importantly, I want to fulfill my Father's dream. And his dream is that I believe in him, that you believe in him, that we really do trust him. And we take the light, and we change every situation we got. Have you heard anybody lately, especially a churchgoer, talk lately about how terrible the world is? How disaster it is? Have you heard anything like that lately? What a mess we're in? Forgive me, but do you realize what that does to us when we hear that? It shuts down our dreams. No sense dreaming. It's the end. No sense believing for anything. It's all going to go fall apart. No sense having it, you know, no sense of building a company, no sense of, you know, having a family. Why should you bring kids into this horrible world? Do you realize? The darkness is the absence of light, but it only rules if you don't bring in the light. And you are the light. And I'm just thinking, you know, with all this, why is there so much negativity? And everybody thinks, even the people that have the doomsday clock say it's only seconds away. Why? Because the spirit of Antichrist wants to shut down God's dream of having people believe in him. Okay, one last dream. So I'm getting a massage a couple weeks ago. And I got some body parts that aren't listening very well right now, okay? And I'm speaking to them, and I got, you know, and I'm with my friend, and we have this open communication that we're spiritual beings and physical bodies, and it all ties together, and everything, you can make everything work together. So she's working on my leg, and I asked her later, I said, do you just know the painful parts in everybody's body? Or do you find what you're looking for? She says, I find what I'm looking for. I said, I know the feeling. I know when you hit it because zing, it hurts. She says, yeah, I know. Anyway, so she's zinging me. And I go into meditation when I'm doing this. And she says, does the Bible say anything good about wolves? And I don't know if it's a split second after or first. I can't tell you now. But I saw a vision. Just like that, as clear as a bell. And I'm looking at it. I could tell you the piece of property on our farm where I was, and it was me, and I'm an infant. I'm not in diapers, but I didn't see clothes, but it that don't matter. I'm just an infant. I'm very vulnerable, and I see a wolf staring at me intently. Now, I don't know about you, but wolves have never been my desire. I mean, I want to make pets out of bobcats and fox, but wolves have never been my go-to. I'd rather meet a mountain lion than a wolf. And this wolf is about 12 inches away from me as an infant, staring at me. And I'm watching it. And now I know the Lord's speaking. So I said, I'm not thinking now. It's just flowing. And I go, this wolf is intent on protecting me. I'm vulnerable. And this wolf is looking at me with intent to nurture me and to protect me. And I'm saying, Lord, what's going on? And I've been spending time with this. In the last days, Spirit will be poured out on all flesh, and you'll have dreams and you have visions. I'm encouraging you to open up, to let God place things in your heart and let you see things. I could have shut it down right away. I could have thrown it out. I could have panicked and thought, man, the devil's coming after me. But I didn't. I looked intently and I realized that wolf was intently to protect me. And it's a pretty cool thought that the one who's watching over you is loving and kind, but he's also very vicious to protect you. He hates the devil and the works of the devil. And your Jesus is a wolf, not in sheep's clothing, just a wolf protecting his own. I'll leave you that with that thought. Take it from there. Father, we thank you from the depths of our heart that you are watching us. And you're not like Santa Claus. You're not watching us to see if we've been naughty or nice. You're not watching us to condemn us. You're not watching us to correct us all the time. You're watching us because we are your dream. We are the desire of your heart. We are the inheritance of you. And in your view, we are extremely valuable. And you are intent, focused on us to nurture us and to protect us. And Father, with our hearts renewed this day, and our minds renewed, we accept your gifts and your callings, your dreams and your visions that you placed in our heart. And we let the light drive out the darkness that's been keeping us from going forward with hope and great anticipation and expectation that our future is incredibly awesome. And like Joseph, we realize there will be battles. We will be hated. We will be pushed down by others. But the outcome of our faith will bring life and light and victory to multitudes. We press on in you, Jesus. Thank you. Hear our words that come from our heart. We believe in you. Amen. Amen. Have an awesome week.